Senate will please come to order. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Roll call for Tuesday, March 4th. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Fecht?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Job?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
He's excused on account of high blood pressure.
Mockler. Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Basie.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Schiffer.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Please join us in prayer with Father Conkleton. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good to see you back. Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Would the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 3rd, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I think that dog's got an itchy paw if you just tap his front paw. No, you got to face us when you do it. Right there.
Perhaps we'll have to have him make a sojourn over to the other end of the building or even downstairs. Members of the Senate, our doctor for the day is Dr. John Healy from here in Cheyenne. Doctor, thank you for coming. And our nurses for the day are Peggy Bezanson and Beverly Jensen from the Wyoming State Hospital over in Evanston. Thank you all for coming over. our thought for the day. What unites us is much more than what divides us. Messages from the House.
March 3rd, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 261, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill number 6, State Veterans Museum. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 60. March 3rd, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 256, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 17, Community College Commission Duties. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 33. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. March 3rd, 2008, from the House of Representatives, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 48, State Loan and Investment Board Loans. Ayes 57, noes 3. House Bill number 57, Emergency Powers, Right to Bear Arms. Ayes 60. House Bill 109, Telecommunications Switched Access. Ayes 49, noes 11. House Bill 98, Speech Pathologist Licensing. Ayes 60. March 3rd, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 259, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 18. The House conferees are Representative Kohlberg, Chairman, Representative Brown, and Thorne. March 3rd, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 260, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 17. The House conferees are Representative Miller, Chairman, Representatives Hammond and McComey. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, with reference to message number 256, concurrence failed on House Bill 17, Community College Commission Duties. The conference committee will be Senator Von Flatern, Senator Nicholas, and Senator Job. And I didn't get to visit with all of you. If there's a conflict there, let me know, but we'll start with that. Okay. Senator Burns, are you ready on message number 203 on House Bill 6, the State Veterans Museum?
Yes, Mr. President, I am.
Would the reading clerk please read in message number 203 on House Bill 6, the State Veterans Museum?
Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 6, State Veterans Museum, reference message number 203. Signing for the House, Representative Childers, Gilmore, and Lockhart. Signing for the Senate, Senators Burns, Meyer, and Perkins.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Committee Report on House Bill 6, State Veterans Museum, and ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, we went and met with the people from the House, and if you remember, what the original bill did was it simply turned the State Veterans Museum over to the military department. After a year-long study, they found that other states, that's the common practice. In addition, the State Parks and Cultural Resources Department was getting itself in trouble because they had no control over how that museum was being run, and their accreditation review was coming up next year, and this might have put the rest of the state museums in jeopardy on their accreditation. So, Mr. Chairman, what the Senate had done was add $100,000 to study the State Veterans Museum. It turns out there's already $100,000 in the budget for the veterans, for the military department to study State Veterans Museum. So we receded from that demand rather than double dip. So what the bill now does via the conference committee report was simply move it over to the military department. And that way it gets, that's something that everybody wanted in the first place, and it gets the state parks and cultural resources department out of trouble. And that's all we do. That's what we're going to do for the next couple of years and see how it goes and see what happens. So, Mr. Chairman, I ask the body to vote aye.
The motion is that the Senate adopt the Joint Committee, the Joint Conference Committee report on House Bill 6, State Veterans Museum, and you are asked to vote aye. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Allman? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer excused. Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee report on House Bill 6, State Veterans Museum. Okay. Bills on second reading. House Bill 10, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 10, State Parks and Historic Site Fees, sponsored by the Travel Committee.
House Bill 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 12, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriation, sponsored by the Mental Health Committee.
House Bill 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 43, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 43, Penalties for Domestic Violence, sponsored by Representative Berger.
House Bill 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? House Bill 52, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 52, Developmental Programs, Cost-Based Reimbursement, sponsored by the Developmental Disabilities Committee.
House Bill 52, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 69, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 69, Revisers Bill, sponsored by the Management Council.
We do have an amendment, the Mockler Amendment, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 69, second reading amendment number 1, page 20, line 9.
Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. This is one of the amendments that goes into the revisers bill that starts cleaning it up this year, which is why it's always so thin now than it used to be. One of the bills that we passed was House Bill 111. It's been enrolled and signed. So what we've gone back and done is added in paragraph, well, in 34-1201B, Romanet 2, we've added the effect of that House bill into this statute that currently exists. There will probably be a couple of these throughout the rest of the session, or actually by tomorrow, and pretty much catches everything that we're doing. So please vote for this amendment.
The question is, on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69 does pass. We're back on the bill. House Bill 69, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 74, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 74, Veterinarian Loan Repayment Program, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
House Bill 74, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 82, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 82, Trauma Care Services, sponsored by Representative Lockhart.
We do have an amendment, second reading amendment number 1. To House Bill 82, the Von Flattern Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 82, second reading amendment number 1, page 4, line 6.
Senator Von Flattern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 82 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Once again, there was a couple of good points brought up in our discussion in the Committee of the Whole yesterday on this bill, in which there were some areas that needed to be cleaned up that were missed by several of us. And so that's what this attempts to do. And then since we went to the adopted the Nicholas Amendment of paying every 6 months, doing a granting every 6 months, it affected other parts of the bill. I think we finally got it together. So now it says that on page 4, line 7, we delete the original amendment and we insert reimbursement shall be available for the cost incurred during the six-month period preceding the period subject to paragraph 3i of this subsection. In other words, if we're going to grant every 6 months, you really should only be reimbursing for the 6 months preceding plus the 6 months waiting period. That way, if you're reimbursing for a full 12 months, but you're reimbursing every 6 months, the second 6 months of that 12 months, if this makes sense to you, will come up again as being asked for reimbursement. So you get if you got a 12-month window and you got to reimburse 6 months later, the second 6 months could actually be asked for again. Yes, I should have had a diagram for everybody on this one. So anyway, 6 months, you wait 6 months, you apply for reimbursement. You go another 6 months, you grab that 6 months, that's now 6 months old, and so you'll never repeat a 6 months again. Yes, a diagram was needed. So, anyway, that straightens that out, we hope. And then the rest of it is page 5, line 20. There was after act, delete the balance of the line, and page 5, 21 through 24. This is where it talked about if there was some money left over. Well, dispersing it over a biennium every 6 months, they won't have that issue. We took out the fact that after May 31st, 2008, that wouldn't make sense since the appropriation goes to the end of the biennium. And then we go to page 6, line 1 and 2, which is an extension of that original, deleted that. Page 6, lines 10 through 14. Once again, there was dates in there that do not match the new dates of the appropriation. So once again, they were deleted. And then page 6, line 15, delete through act. Page 6, line 18. The enactment clause on this would have put it into the biennium. The funding would have fallen within the biennium we are presently in because it became immediate. So we just took it and started it on July 1. And so now it falls into, the goldenrod moves it into this upcoming biennium, which I believe was the intentions. So it is for the next biennium. The goldenrod should reflect it as coming into the next biennium and not coming out of reversions or however they would have found the money in the biennium we're about to end in the next couple of months. And then you delete the rest of, on page 6, lines 19 through 21, because it becomes immediate upon July 1st instead of immediate, or it becomes enacted July 1st instead of immediately upon. So that's the amendment. I hope we straighten things out. I know I've probably totally confused everybody, but really it makes sense. So I ask for your favorable vote.
Discussion. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do appreciate our good chairman clarifying and cleaning up some things. I did have a question, though, with regard to the six-month deadline. I guess I could see situations where you could have a six-month period of time in trauma care that was quite extensive, and you could have some of your smaller EMT units, your smaller hospitals, maybe drop off the board during a particular six-month period of time, and then that's water under the bridge that they could never submit that again. I guess maybe we might want to have a little bit of discussion on that. You might have three or four hospitals, for example, that eat up that particular allotment, and then you have some of your smaller hospitals that just simply don't get in line quick enough during that particular 6 month period of time. I'm not sure we want to tie the Department of Health's hands there in terms of being able to back up and pick somebody up if you have a 6 month period of time that's really not that heavy. So I guess I do have a little bit of a question mark there.
Further discussion? Senator Von Flager.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time. Every 6 months you'll apply. The bill has to be at least 6 months old. So if you have a bad 6 months, you'll take whatever you have in unreimbursed. Remember, you had to go through all the Medicare, Medicaid, bad debt reimbursement procedures during that six-month period. And then you say, okay, that wasn't collectible. Well, I would hope those hospitals would have their paperwork in order, so they would apply. Well, that's true. If, you know, when it's dispersed out, if $6 million in requests come in and they only have $625,000 in any one quarter to give away, any one six-month period, they would only be giving out a percentage anyway. And when you'd get what you got, 6 months later, you take the next collection of 6 months' debts that you want to be reimbursed for, have waited the 6 months while you tried to get reimbursed for them, and then apply again for those. That is true. The original 6 months, you got what you got. But that would be across the board for everybody, with nobody getting more than 25% of any one letting. So I don't really know how to make it much fairer than that. That's the best we've come up with. I hope that answers the question.
Question is on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 82. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 82 does pass. We are back on the bill. House Bill 82, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 83, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 83, District Court Judge Increase, sponsored by Representative Olson.
House Bill 83, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 85, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 85, Brucellosis Testing Program, sponsored by Representative Olson.
House Bill 85, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 92, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 92, Property Tax Refund Program, sponsored by the Revenue Committee.
House Bill 92, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 102, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 102, Quality Child Care, sponsored by Representative Landon.
House Bill 102, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 113, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 113, School Finance, Minimum Teacher Resources, sponsored by Representative McComey.
House Bill 113, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 117, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 117, Developmental Preschool Funding, sponsored by Representative Harvey.
House Bill 117, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 127, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 127, Prescription Drugs, Physician Shopping, sponsored by Representative Simpson.
House Bill 127, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 137, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 137, Castle Doctrine, sponsored by Representative Qualberg.
We do have an amendment. We have three amendments. The first amendment is second reading amendment number one to House Bill 137. The Scott Fecht Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 137, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy. Page 1, line 3 through 6, delete.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is a simple house cleaning amendment and takes care of a number of problems that are potentially within the bill. The simplest way to explain it, Mr. President, is let me read the first sentence as it will read if the amendment passes. This would be on page 2, starting at line 1. It would read, except as provided by WS 61103A, which, and parenthetically, that's the statute that lets you sue somebody that's convicted of a crime. Except as provided by WS 61103A, a person who uses force is immune from civil action for the use of the force. Period. Delete the balance of the bill until you get to the effective date. Mr. Chairman, what this does, I was listening very carefully yesterday as the sponsor explained the bill, and the explanation was that the problem in Wyoming is potentially in the civil area, where you defend yourself and then you don't get criminally prosecuted, you get sued by the person you defended yourself against. This amendment says, okay, that's right. That is the problem. We've got, Mr. President, perfectly good Castle Doctrine in our criminal law. And you can see an expression of it. It's actually in the amendment or in the bill on page 5, which is where I copied it from. And the criminal law gives us perfectly good criminal defense if we have to defend ourselves, and we don't need to change it. And, in fact, the discussion yesterday proved to me, at least, that the body of the bill does change the criminal law and in some ways that I think potentially are dangerous and that we don't fully understand. So what this does is just brings it back to the civil issue. And the practical effect, I'm told, is twofold. First, as the civil law now is, if you used force against somebody and it was in your self-defense, you've got to prove that you used reasonable force and that it wasn't self-defense. As it will be if we pass the bill with this amendment, the plaintiff, the person that attacked you, that is now suing you, has to prove that your use of force was unreasonable. So it switches the burden of proof. And I think that's a very reasonable thing to do. That gives us better protection for people who do defend themselves. The second thing it does is, with the is immune language, it gives the judge proper license, where they don't meet their burden of proof, to dismiss the lawsuit, which means that you get rid of it easier. You won't have all the settlement negotiations and all the abuses that can occur there. You won't have the unreasonable expense of having to defend through a full court trial when what you did in the first place was perfectly reasonable. And that would give us a bill that, Mr. President, I think would solve the problem that there is in Wyoming, and a bill that avoids some of the other difficulties that the original bill creates in the criminal code area, because it deletes all those provisions. So that's the amendment, Mr. President, and I would urge the Senate to adopt it.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that this amendment be divided. Mr. President, the spirit of the division is to separate out the question of Section 61204, which is the immunity provisions, Mr. President. This amendment modifies 61204 and then deletes the rest of the bill. In the way that this amendment is written, however, Mr. President, the only way to divide it is if you look at line 19 of the amendment, and it has page 2, lines 4 through 24, delete. The sections that deal with the civil immunity, Mr. President, end at line 8. And what I would propose is that we could deal with these things separately if we accepted a division as being lines 4 through 8, and that on line 19, page 2, lines 4 through 8, and all above being one topic of discussion, and line 9 through 24 through the rest of the bill, which is the deletion of the rest of the bill, being a second topic. And I realize that's kind of on the shade of divisibility, but the concept is divisible. The amendment may not, and I ask for a ruling from the chair.
In my opinion, that is not divisible along those lines. Remember that when you divide an amendment, it has to have the ability to stand alone, as printed, and a couple rules come into play here. We have a rule that amendments will be printed and distributed prior to taking them up. You know, in the old days, they just wrote them and pulled them out of their pocket. We don't do that anymore. It's got to be printed and distributed before we take the amendment up. In order to be divisible, you have to use the language that is in front of the Senate, and you have to be able to have each portion stand alone. I don't think this qualifies. In my opinion, that amendment is not divisible along those lines.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The good senator from out of Natuna County said this was a housekeeping bill. I think from your reaction that you agree that we'll probably take several loads of trash bags and lots of work to get it swept out of here. I don't think this really addresses the problem that many of you may have with the bill. I think what it does is gut the bill. I think there's some better ways to do it, and I would just ask that you would defeat this amendment and move on.
Question being? Senator Sessions.
Oh. Mr. President, I have thought about this bill probably for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm going to bring this up now, and the questions that I'd like to ask, and I would like them answered, and I'd like to have the discussions on this issue. One is, I already thought I had the right to defend my home. And it goes back to middle 1960s, early 1960s, when I was given a gun, a small pistol, taught how to shoot it, because I had three small children and a mother that had suffered a stroke. My husband was gone a lot of the time in making a living. I thought I had that right. But with this bill, and I've thought a lot about it now, I live alone. We're not just arming and giving the rights to responsible citizens in this bill. We're giving those rights to everyone else that we meet on the street. And I, in entering my home to steal my 25-year-old TV, they're going to come armed for bear because we have allowed this to go into law as it stands right now. I want the discussion on, most of you, you have families. You have families that you leave for periods of time. You have children in your home. What are we going to do with the weapons that we are allowing people now maybe to carry at all? The concern I have is most people have gun safes. Most people have weapons put up away from other individuals. They don't carry them. What I'm asking now is, are you putting your families and your children further at risk by passing something as it stands now? Because they will be armed, and you may say, oh, that's not going to happen. That's not what it does. The perception of this bill is that that's what it does. People who are going to take this to heart are not going to read the statutes. They're not going to go to a lawyer and ask, can I do this or can I not do this? The perception of this bill, all through the media, all through the newspapers, all through our emails, is I can do this. And it's not going to be responsible citizens who arm themselves to the teeth. It's going to be the other side. And let me tell you, a lot of them are very astute and smart. They're going to know that when they enter a house, they're going to be armed. My stupid little pistol that I will have to crawl up on the top of the cupboard and get isn't going to stop anything. I submit to you, and I want this discussion from people who are so gung-ho on this, the risk that you put ordinary, normal people in with the entire body of this bill. If we want to do civil immunity, hey, I can live with that. If we want to put into statute the actual doctrine that's in our law, that is case law, that says I have a right to defend myself in my home, that's fine. But all this other stuff, people, and it's circulated wildly. I want you to stand up and tell me that you don't think that your home and your families and your children are not at an increased risk, because I believe I am, while I'm driving by myself if I make a mistake, while I'm living in my home by myself. So I'd like that discussion, and I'd like those questions answered, because I've thought a lot about this.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, the way this amendment is written, I think it leaves us no option but to vote against it. I think if you find the amendments to the civil immunity section to be compelling, you can't divide it out, and I appreciate the ruling from the chair. So I suggest that we vote this amendment down, and the sponsor can work, and we could work and have an amendment that addresses the two separate sections. And so I would oppose this amendment and hope you all would as well.
Senator Von Flager.
Standing on in support of this amendment, I believe this amendment really says what those emails are telling me. That's what I believe those people believe this bill does, is just give you, codify, put it in writing, the right to defend your home and defend your person. The rest of the bill is a lot of extra stuff that the average reader has never read. The average emailer, I'm sure, because I've asked many of them to respond with what they do like or don't like about the bill, and I don't get responses. But I believe this amendment does exactly what they think this bill says, which is the right to defend yourself and your home. And it goes a one step further on the civil immunity, which, not being a legal mind, I can't explain exactly how that all works. But I stand in support of this amendment. and let's move it forward.
Question being called for. Question is, on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 137, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 137 does pass. Division being called for. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 137, all in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 137 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 137, the Hastert Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 137, second reading amendment number 2 to engross copy. Delete the Scott second reading amendment.
Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, at this time, I wish to withdraw, without objection, withdraw this amendment.
Hearing no objection, second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 137 is withdrawn. The third amendment we have is second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137, the Case Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 137, second reading amendment number 3 to engross copy. Delete the Scott second reading amendment.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137. Mr. President, this is some of the language in this amendment is going to look familiar to those of you from the first amendment we consider today, and it does deal with this issue of that you reasonably believe that the use of force is necessary. Mr. President, as I've done some research on, looked at some of the research on behalf of this bill, and basically the common law has kind of two concepts going on. I think our duty to retreat, or that we do not have a duty to retreat, is basically part of common law. What this bill tries to do is to codify that. But there's another piece of common law that I think we have to pay attention to, and if we're going to codify part of it, we ought to codify the other part as well. Because the purpose of the whole bill is to say, you know, people shouldn't have to understand the common law all the time when they make decisions in their lives. The codification benefits our citizens. But if we're going to codify it, Mr. President, we ought to codify the other aspect. And this is the necessary aspect, Mr. President. And I'll read to you from a Supreme Court decision. It is State versus Sorrentino. I think it's a 1931 case. The right to kill is based upon the law of necessity or apparent necessity. Life may be snuffed out in a fraction of a second, but it can never be restored. The doctrine of the right to protect one's habitation gives no moral right to kill another unless necessity or apparent necessity for purpose countenanced by law exists. What my amendment does, Mr. President, is to put in about that it's necessary. And I thought the First Amendment just where it put necessary in for the civil immunity was a good idea. Mr. President, this goes into two sections of the bill. If you look on page 3, line 12 of your engrossed copy, it would add a three little I that says, the person who used defensive force used such force when it was necessary or apparently necessary under the circumstance. The requirement of this paragraph does not create a duty to retreat from one's home or habitation when attacked therein. Makes it not only is it, you're in your home, but it's necessary to use the force. And yeah, you might say that's kind of what it says anyway, but this takes the common law about necessary and puts it in there. In addition, we would go into little C, which is the section that deals with when you're not in your home. It caused lots of consternation. And it basically says you can use force only if it's necessary or apparently necessary in that circumstance. So the new little C would read, a person who is not engaged in an unlawful activity and who is attacked in any other place where he has a right to be has no duty to retreat and has the right to stand his ground and meet force with force, including deadly force, if it is necessary or apparently necessary to do so to prevent death or serious bodily injury to himself or another. That's the end of the deal. That's the concept in a nutshell. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion. All in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137 has failed to pass. Division being called for. All in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137, please stand. All in favor of second reading amendment number 3. All opposed to second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137, please stand.
15 no.
Second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137 has failed to pass the Senate. We are back on the bill. House Bill 137, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 151, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 151, Tax Relief Program Amendment, sponsored by Representative Childress.
House Bill 151, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 153, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 153, Economic Development Account 2, sponsored by Representative Lockhart.
House Bill 153, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 155, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 155, Recruitment of Physicians and Dentists, sponsored by Representative Lubnow.
We have two amendments. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 155, the Nicholas Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 155, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the amendment, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 155. This deletes the appropriation. The testimony yesterday was the bill could stand and was accomplished purposes without the appropriation, so I urge your support of the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, Mr. President, the statement was absolutely correct. The bill does stand and does do some significant good without the appropriation because it does reform the existing program, which has an existing appropriation. I recall to you what the bill does in addition to that. Is it allows for a number of the standard inducements that all our competitors use when trying to recruit physicians, and it funds them. And it becomes a matter of the Senate's judgment. My judgment is that We have a shortage. The Health Care Commission has well documented it. The shortage is concentrated in particular areas and in the primary care specialties, but it goes beyond primary care in some areas. I think it is well worth spending the money that this appropriation calls for, which, as I recall, is $800,000 specifically. I think it's well worth that money to try to deal with the shortage. We're looking, I think, in the future of having even worse shortages and worse recruiting difficulties. So I think we ought to keep the appropriation in the bill and pass it, defeat this amendment and pass it with the appropriation there.
Further discussion. Senator Job.
Thank you, Mr. President. In support of this amendment, there is $282,000 in the 900 series in the Department of Health's budget, and that's the 910 biennium, to support the Wyoming Health Resources Network, and we heard yesterday that that's probably an ineffective way to spend money. So I would assume, since that's in the 900 series, that that money could be pulled from that contract and used on this recruitment if it's necessary.
Further discussion? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to that funding that goes into the Wyoming Health Resources Network, that organization work is much broader than what we're dealing with here. You know, that money and those contracts go into often finding physicians and nurses, advanced nurse practitioners and others to fill in just temporarily while some of these folks are out out for just a year or away temporarily. It doesn't really go into recruiting folks permanently. At least a large majority of that money does not. So I do not think it would be a good substitute at all for this $800,000. There really isn't much overlap in how those funds are used.
Senator Fecht.
Mr. President, thank you very much. I would also stand against the amendment. Earlier this interim period, I had the opportunity to attend a conference, and there were about 30 other states represented. This was one of the primary discussion areas that we had, was this recruiting of physicians. We are in serious competition with a lot of states that are putting a lot more money than this into it. And obviously they have bigger populations, and that's part of the problem. But there are a lot of states out there all looking to do the exact same thing, and I think this $800,000 is extremely important for the benefit of our state.
Further discussion? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Standing on and against the amendment, I appreciate the words of our senator from Laramie County. He's absolutely right. Recruitment is something that I do know a little bit about, do that in my regular job. And the fact is, if we don't get ourselves up to a level playing field, we're not going to be able to recruit these people. And I think it's important that we leave this appropriation as it is. Give this thing a chance to work, and maybe we can attract some doctors into our state. So I stand against the amendment.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I appreciate all the comments. Remember, there's $2 million already in the budget. The hospitals are already engaged in many of these efforts. There's a lot of resources being put in together. I submit to you, pass the bill without the appropriation. There's enough money in the budget to undertake some of these problems. And then we can begin to look at a more orderly process of how we're going to allocate the dollars we have to make sure that they are spent in the best places. It seems to me that if you just keep adding on and adding on, you're not going to change the result other than spending more money. I urge your support of the amendment.
Question is, on second reading amendment number one, the House Bill 155, would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Allman? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Vecht?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 155 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 155, the BVOUT amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 155, second reading amendment number 2 to engross copy, page 9, line 6 through 19.
Senator BVOUT.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to withdraw that amendment.
Hearing no objection, that amendment is withdrawn. We are back on the bill. House Bill 155, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 169, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 169, Contracts for Public Improvement Bid Requirements. Sponsored by Representative Dirks.
House Bill 169, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, consent list is House Bill 3, Campaign Finance Reporting, Electronic Filing, House Bill 33, Veterans Property Tax Exemption, House Bill 75, Legislative Per Diem, House Bill 86, Reverse 9/11 Emergency Systems, House Bill 135, Fuel Disclosure, House Bill 136, Dyed Fuel Enforcement, House Bill 141, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments. House Bill 142, Driver's Services Fees 2. Joint Resolution 10, Radio Stations.
House Bill 3, Campaign Finance Reporting, Electronic Filing. House Bill 33, Veterans Property Tax Exemption. House Bill 75, Legislative Per Diem. House Bill 86, Reverse 9/11 Emergency Systems. House Bill 135, Fuel Disclosure. House Bill 136, Dyed Fuel Enforcement. House Bill 141, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments. House Bill 142, Driver Services Fees 2, and House Joint Resolution 10, Radio Stations, are all on the consent list. Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Scott.
House Bill 142, Driver Services Fees.
House Bill 142, Driver Services Fees, is removed from the consent list. Would anyone like any other bill removed from the consent list? House Bill 3, Campaign Finance Reporting, Electronic Filing. House Bill 33, Veterans Property Tax Exemption. House Bill 75, Legislative Per Diem. House Bill 86, Reverse 9/11 Emergency Systems. House Bill 135, Fuel Disclosure, House Bill 136, Dyed Fuel Enforcement, House Bill 141, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments, and House Joint Resolution Number 10, Radio Station. have all been read three separate times. The question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Would the chief clerk please call the roll on the consent list?
Anderson? Allman? Allman? Bebout? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? DeCaria? Vecht? Geis? Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Job? Johnson? Landon? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Mockler? Nicholas? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Townsend? Basie? Von Flatern? President Schiffer?
Aye.
30 ayes. House Bill 3, are there any changes?
Geis,
aye to no.
Scott,
aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Vasey, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 3, 22 ayes, 8 noes. House Bill 33, are there any changes?
Case,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 33, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 75, are there any changes?
Case,
aye to no. Townsend, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 75, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Bill 86, are there any changes?
Case,
aye to no.
Perkins,
aye to no. Mockler, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 86, 26 ayes, 4 noes. House Bill 135, are there any changes?
Geis,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 135, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 136, are there any changes?
Case,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 136, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 141, are there any changes?
Massey,
aye to no. Scott,
aye
to no. Mockler, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 141, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Joint Resolution 10, are there any changes? Larson, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
President Schiffer, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 10, 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 3, Campaign Finance Reporting Electronic Filing, House Bill 33, Veterans Property Tax Exemption, House Bill 75, Legislative Per Diem, House Bill 86, Reverse 9/11 Emergency Systems, House Bill 135, Fuel Disclosure, House Bill 136, Dyed Fuel Enforcement, House Bill 141, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments, and House Joint Resolution 10, Radio Stations, have all passed the Senate. House Bill 133, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 133, Taxation of Helium, sponsored by Representative Anderson, and Act Relating to Taxation and Revenue, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment, third reading amendment number 1, to House Bill 133, the Jennings Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 133, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, before I go to the amendment that covers the legislative findings, I think we have a problem on the floor that I'd like to address. If we go to Wyoming Statute 69-203, unlawful use of toxic substance, a person commits the offense of an unlawful use of a toxic substance if he inhales or ingests or possesses with the purchase to inhale or ingest for the purpose of altering his mental or physical state any toxic substance that is not manufactured for human consumption or inflation. Furthermore, Mr. President, down in paragraph B little 3I, gases including but not limited to butane refrigerants and organic hydrocarbons are not created for human ingestion, breathing it in, or injection. Mr. President, I do think that there is a provision here that will fix this problem that we have on the floor of the Senate. C, the provision of subsection A of this section do not apply to a bona fide institution of higher education conducting research with human volunteers pursuant to guidelines adopted by the institution or any federal or state agency. Mr. President, with your permission, I believe if we choose a Tony moment as a guideline adopted by this institution, we're okay as it stands on the floor. Now to the amendment, Mr. Chair.
It did not affect his mental state.
So noted. Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, as far as the amendment on the legislative findings, if there's no objection, I'd like to withdraw the amendment because this baby's going to need all the help it can get.
Hearing no objection, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 133 is withdrawn. House Bill 133, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. Oh, no. Wait a sec. We got to vote on this, don't we? House Bill 133, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Fecht.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Larson.
Massey,
Meyer,
Mockler,
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote?
Jennings,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Having House Bill 133, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 133 has passed the Senate. Senator Allman.
Mr. President, can I have the pleasure of the floor? The
floor is yours, Madam Senator.
Bell Cylinders, up in the balcony up here, we have probably the school that comes the farthest to see this procedure. They come from Star Valley, and that's over 450 miles away, in case you want to know that. One way. Anyways, these are kids from Star Valley Middle School, and their teacher is Scott Malin, and the principal is up here, Principal Kazare. And if hope that we'd have a welcome to them. Thank you.
Welcome, students, and enjoy your day here at the Capitol. House Bill 142, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 142, Driver Services Fees 2, sponsored by Representative Edwards, and Act relating to driver services, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I ask this be pulled off the consent list because I didn't think it was right to pass a bill with this kind of a tax increase on the consent list. And make no mistake about it, it is a tax increase. You know, we're doubling the fees here. When your constituents want to renew their driver's license, it's going to cost them $40 instead of $20. When these young people up in the gallery come to the age where they need to get instruction permit, it's going to cost them $40 instead of $20. And all the other fees just comparable, including the restricted one, is doubling. I really wonder, Mr. President, whether we need to do that given the current financial health of the state of Wyoming and pass something that hits our constituents that way.
Further discussion? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, we heard this bill in committee and heard the testimony from the division and other interested parties. And, you know, these fee increases, yeah, they're doubling. You know, but don't you want each division to be self-sustaining? This division had a $6 million shortfall last year, and they took money out of the highway funds to pay for it. You know, maybe that's the money dedicated to Natrona County or who knows, maybe Uinta County for doing that. But the bottom line is the last time that these fees were raised was 1994. Had we been doing it and should have been looking at these, or the department should have been looking at these in a more timely manner, not to require a doubling of the fees. But even given that, if you look at the rate of inflation and factor that in, these rates are still below that. We were told that this increase will bring the division up to a break-even point and not rate it for inflation for coming years. And it does not take into any consideration the real ID. You know, the division, this division processes 15,000 or close to 16,000 licenses a year. They administer some 78,000 court convictions and, you know, also work with the DUI offenses. They're the ones that get the ignition interlock laws into place. So the division does quite a bit. All they're asking is to be able to, the division to stand on their own and at least break even, and that's all this does.
Senator Von Fleeter.
Thank you, Mr. President. You've got to remember that when you use the word tax, it's unavoidable when you're discussing food and your property tax, you want a place to live, and taxes on whatever else we do tax, which in this state is getting somewhat limited, it seems like. But you have to remember, this isn't an entitlement. You do not have to have a driver's license. Now, I will tell you, it's very tough, especially in the state of Wyoming, not to have a driver's license. I'll grant you that. But this is different than something you must to survive. You do not need a driver's license to survive. If this is not an entitlement we give you, this is an opportunity. And when we ask the department to manage that, and yet we tell them not to run in the red, and they come back with us and say at least we're going to break even in the last couple of years, this is good business. So I ask you to support the bill. It is not a tax, and the fact that the word used is fees, and it truly is fees.
Senator Cole.
Well, Mr. President, I support the good senator from Natrona County. What kind of message does it send to our constituents if we come down here in the budget bill and appropriate another $200 million for highways in the state, and then come with a bill like this that raises fees for them to acquire a driver's license? My way of thinking, it sends the wrong message. I stood up here yesterday opposed to fees in another bill. I'm opposed to fees in this bill. With the state position, the revenue position of the state, and I got to tell you again, natural gas is really, really cranking in the state again. We're back with a price differential that is minimal compared to what it was 6 months ago. But I can't go home and tell my constituents that I'm going to raise their fees to go renew their driver's license when we're turning the kind of revenue here at the state level that we are. So I urge you to defeat the bill.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, I was going to vote for this until I heard a statement or two before that. But Mr. President, it is necessary in Wyoming to have a driver's license. You cannot exist in Wyoming without a driver's license. Until we have mass transit or we start running the railroads with passenger trains, it's important. I mean, I don't think that there's a place in Wyoming that you can work that you can't have, that you don't need to get to work some way. And you need to drive.
Senator Hester, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is simply a user fee. It makes sense, you know, and then the money's going to have to come out of the highways there again. Yes, we put more money in the highways, but then we'll be pulling them out for a user fee, you know, to pay for this division. So I support the bill.
Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would hope we would be a little more consistent on this body. I mean, my goodness, we just took off the entire restriction we had on welfare mothers so they could buy cars, and we raised their welfare rates, and now we're just going to get in that other pocket and take it away from them. So, Mr. Chairman, I think we better watch what we're doing here.
Senator Case.
I'm trying to understand, Mr. President. You don't have a right to drive, but if you live in Wyoming, you got to drive. But you get the right to drive because the government grants you a privilege that you have to do anything in Wyoming, but yet we're going to double the price so that you can have the privilege so that we can recover our costs when we're spending $200 million on roads for something you got to do.
Further discussion? House Bill 142. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Wyoming Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
Right.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
House Bill 142, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 142 has failed to pass the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
Oh, just be, yeah, the birthday kid.
Ah. Are there any announcements? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The joint Appropriations Committee is going to meet at 1:30 instead of upon adjournment. Thank you.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your select committee, your conference committee on House Bill 55, Water Well Drillers, will meet at noon to see if we can work out a little problem with the water.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, revenue will meet at 12:30 rather than the original announcement that said 20 minutes after adjournment, but we'll meet at 12:30 to consider interim topics.
Senator Von Flager.
Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, will meet in 30 minutes at noon, upon noon recess, but 30 minutes at noon, House Room 17, to do interim topics discussion.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet with a like committee from the House to discuss interim topics upon adjournment in H-8.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Conference Committee on Senate File 18 will meet upon adjournment in Room House 18.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, the Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 69, Natural Resource Trust Fund Amendments, will meet upon adjournment in H-10.
Further announcements? The motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate's in recess till 2 p.m.